Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on your water rights when we come back. And let me ask you this, what do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong, very wrong, with the Ten Commandments, because they've been banned from our public schools, banned from our public institutions, and they have now been banned from our national consciousness. Instead of these ten simple, time-tested laws, we now see the ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place. And they're teaching the ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, our public institutions, and we've made them a part of our national psyche. Now, this is a very radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years, don't you think? Are you aware, for instance, that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but she can have an abortion? That's right, an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent. Now, that's why I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. Our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments. They even put 22 principles of that law into our federal Constitution. And there's still at least one school left in America that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all of the 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits that you receive for observing the Ten Commandments. Now, you know every law has a penalty, and you don't have to know what the penalty of the law is to suffer from its effect. So whether you call that the Mosaic Law, the law of God, the common law, or natural law, or karma, or something else, it's automatic. And it works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happens to be the natural penalty for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's the place to start. It's educational. It's informative. It's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call right now and order one for yourself. The number to call, 417-273-4967. If you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Now, on our website, just go to the website, click on to the email, send us an email request for that CD package. Remember, again, georgegordon.org. Why don't you do it right now before you forget? We're talking about water and your water rights. Now, last time we were taking a look at the multinational corporation and the government working in conjunction to privatize water in Europe, North America, Australia, New Zealand. They've moved their operations from the underdeveloped world, or it might be that they practiced on the underdeveloped world to find out how to perfect their technique and then go sell it to the people that have the money. You know, the people in South Africa and Australia and New Zealand and Western Europe and North America. We're the guys with the money, and that's the place where they're selling it. Now, whether it's politically motivated or it's structurally ingrained in the environment, maybe it's global warming or climate change, or maybe it's a combination of politics and government intervention. I don't know. Shucks. As old Will Rogers said, all I know is what I read in the papers. And so I'm giving you a report. I don't think I'm going to change anything. I don't think I'm going to change the drift of the war in Iraq. I can report on it, but I don't think I'm going to change a whole lot there. But I can certainly avoid the pitfalls. I can certainly observe and then watch out. And so, rather than reinvent the wheel, I can see what they've done with petroleum, and I see what they're about to do with water, so I'm gonna make some meaningful changes here. Now, I reported last time that 50% of the people of the world get their water out of the ground. That's a mistake. So I'm going to change that mistake. I'm going to get my water from the surface water. Now, I erroneously reported to you, and I did my arithmetic. I was trying to do it over the air, and I sat down and did my arithmetic. I said 5,000 square feet in Tucson, Arizona will give you all the water you need. That's not true. In Tucson, Arizona, you have to have a minimum of 1/4 to 1/3 of an acre. 1/3 will do it. 1/4 will barely do it. Now, you're going to get in Tucson, Arizona, last time I heard, about 10 inches of rain a year, which is about 0.83. So, if you have an acre, you can make it like a shop. Because an acre has 43,560 square feet. And you're going to need about 100,000 gallons of water per year. If you're a family of 4, 5, 6, just normal run-of-the-mill guys that are out here watering your garden, watering your lawn, doing your thing in life, today in America we need about 100,000 gallons of water. That sounds like a lot of water. Actually, it's about 1/3 of an acre foot of water. An acre foot is 43,560 square feet, 1 foot deep in water, about 7.5 gallons per cubic foot. So if you want to write this down, check it out and see how much water you've got on your ground and how much your rainfall is. Now here where I live, 5,000 square feet will do it. You can get enough water because we have here 40 inches of rain a year. So you're going to have 40 inches of rain on your 5,000 square foot lot. You can do that in the eastern United States. Out in the west, you got to have 1/3 of an acre if you're down to 10 inches of rain a year. Now, that's pretty low rainfall. Somebody said to me there are some places in Arizona that only get 6 inches. Well, okay. Let's just take 6 inches. That's a half a foot. That's a half of an acre foot on an acre. So take 326,000, divide that by 2, that's 163,000. That's way more than the 100,000 gallons a year that you need. So when I said there's plenty of water falling all over the United States, plenty of water falling on California and Arizona, but to put in a cistern system, which is what you have to do to take advantage of that water, which, by the way, in arid areas of the Sahara Desert and Chad and Australia, where they don't get very much rainfall, they collect the water off of the roofs of their houses and their outbuildings and channel that water, pipe that water into an underground cistern or into an above-ground pond where they pump their water out. Now, there's lots of books on the subject of cisterns and cistern systems. It's just that it's expensive. It costs a lot of money. And I'm going to go ahead and put one of those in. I need to collect the groundwater, or excuse me, the surface water, in place of the groundwater. And use that surface water. And quit depending upon it. Because here's what they're going to do. And they're already mouthing it here in our state. So let me tell you where this is going. I live in Missouri. No shortage of water here. Hell, we get 30, 40, 50 inches of rain a year. Plenty of moisture here in the Midwest. But because of the cheap water and the waste of water, which I'll get into here in a second, waste water, they're talking about monitoring. You know, they've already got government intrusion into when we want to poke a hole in the ground, they want it registered with the state. So they've already intruded into our private rights. All right, now that they've gone that step further, the next step is they're going to put meters on our wells. You know, there's been some talk of that. They haven't legislated yet, but they're talking about it. And then, you know, this is for water quality. This is for water safety. This is for the benefit of the people, the health, safety, and welfare of the public. That's what our damn politicians keep telling us. They lie a lot because they work for Bechtel and these big multinational corporations. But they've got to have something to sell. And so they'll come along and they'll say, is it fair for that guy Gordon to be pumping water out of the ground by the acre foot while you people in the city have to pay these outrageous prices? No, that's not fair. Let's meter those farmers. Now, that's what's coming. Now, you've got that here in the United States already. And if they can do it in New Mexico, and if they can do it in Idaho, they can do it in Missouri or Iowa or anyplace else. And it's coming, so get used to it. Now, what they can't meter is the water that falls out of the sky. And when it falls on my house, and I pipe it off of my house into my cistern. That's why I'm going to build a cistern system in a region where I get 50 inches of rain. Because I don't want to pay the damn government or Bechtel or somebody else. And I sure as hell don't want them putting a meter on out here and telling me that I got to pay them. Now, I'm dependent upon that groundwater today, but I'm going to get independent here as rapidly as possible. Hopefully by the end of the year. So I wanted to tell you that you do have some water rights that come out of the ground. Now, I've got some water rights that come out of the ground, and I want to capitalize upon that. I'm not a multimillionaire, but I want to get paid for what's under my ground. And I've got some water under my ground. And if I can establish my water rights today before my legislature enacts new legislation. Now, don't think now for a moment that your government can just come in and enact new legislation and abrogate your rights. That doesn't occur. Well, not under our Constitution, not yet. Not yet. We still have eminent domain, and we still have property, and we still have property rights, and as long as God is breathing, assuming that he breathes, I think he'll protect our property and property rights under that commandment that says, thou shalt not steal. Which is why I advocate practicing the Ten Commandments in place of the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto. But I want to establish my rights, and I'm encouraging all of my listeners to do the same thing. Establish your water rights right now. Because right now, the water's free. The water's cheap. The water is, you know, under attack. 85% of our water is still intact. We still got 85% of it. But they're after all of it. And they'll succeed, just like they did with oil, little by little, like the elephant sticking his trunk in the tent or the camel sticking his nose in the tent. Before long, the elephant or the camel is in the tent and you're out in the sandstorm. Or you're out in the weather. Now let's take a look at California and let's take a look at sucking up all of the state's water. If you got plenty of water raining on your state, why is it that you've got a water shortage? Boys and girls, you got a water shortage like you got an oil shortage. It's politically motivated. And some of it's got some merit. It is true that we're wasteful. I don't deny it. Hell, I'm wasteful. But at least I can afford to be wasteful because I've got plenty of water to waste. Now, where you don't have lots of water to waste and you're wasteful, well, then you're causing... It's what we call in law, you're becoming the proximate cause of your own injury. Thirsty home landscaping, particularly lawns, will suck up an increasingly burdensome amount of water in California over the next 25 years, unless big changes are made. According to the new report by the Public Policy Institute of California, the state of California is expected to add 11 million new residents by 2030, and at least half are expected to locate in hotter inland areas where single-family homes with lush lawns are popular, according to the report. So you do the math, said the study co-author Ellen Hennick, an economist with the Institute in San Francisco. We're facing the prospect of many more people with more lawns and gardens in the state's hottest, driest regions. That adds up to a lot of water. Landscaping currently accounts for at least half of all the residential water demand, according to the report. So without new conservation efforts, the amount of water going to outdoor landscaping is predicted to rise by 1.2 million acre-feet a year. That's enough to serve roughly 4.8 million people. California cities and suburbs currently use about 9 million acre-feet of water a year. Water conservation experts have focused for decades on cutting residential water use, and numerous Bay Area water agencies and local governments promote conservation. Now, conservation, boys and girls, I'm going to underline that. Governments promote conservation. That's a communist byword for stand in line and share the shortage. Hell, we've been watching that for years and years. Don't produce more. Share the shortage by conservation. Now, I don't deny it. There are times when you're going to have to conserve. When you have a drought, like they had back in the 80s, and you live in the city, say, in San Rafael, California, and they had to put a water line across the San Rafael Bridge to pipe water from the East Bay over to San Rafael. Now, meanwhile, back on the farm, since you people in San Rafael know that you've had droughts in the past, and what we want is to, we want to conserve the available water that's available. And there's more and more people moving into Marin County. And there's going to be no more rainfall than there is today. And there's going to be greater demands on the water system that you have. Then it looks like to me you need to expand the production of water. I know I'm just a crummy businessman here, but it looks like you need more. Let me put it in another context. Let's suppose that you're just married and it's just you and your wife, okay? And you're out here working, you're making $10 an hour. And you and your wife go to the grocery store and you buy your groceries and it costs you $100 a week. And everything's going along fine, and then your wife gets pregnant, and then she has a baby, and then all of a sudden you got a new bread snapper, and pretty soon there's a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh bread snapper. And does it ever occur to you that as these children grow, they're going to eat more and more, and that $100 a week isn't going to suffice to feed you and your wife? Now it's going to take $200 or $300 a week because you got all these other mouths to feed. Now, if you got a brain on your head at all, $10 an hour isn't going to suffice. Pretty soon you're going to need $20 an hour. Or there's another solution. Maybe we could grow some of our own food. Maybe we could put in a garden. Maybe we can't afford $200 a week. Maybe we've got the same income. We got twice or three times or four times as many mouths to feed, but we don't have any more money. What are we going to do? We got to produce more food. How do we do that? I can go to the grocery store and I can buy it, or I can dig up my lawn and I can go plant it. I can grow it. And I can have an abundance. Now, we do that here on the farm. I've got some raised beds down here. When I need more lettuce, I put more seeds in the ground. I've got lettuce. I don't even grow lettuce anymore. I just go out here and pick the wild stuff, poke and lamb's quarter and other stuff like that. I've got plenty. And I can go out here and pick the weeds, for crying out loud, and live off of them. But what if you can't do that? And that's where we're headed with water. And California is headed this way. Now, you people in California got plenty of rain. I know it's a dry state and you don't have near as much water as we got in Missouri, but you got plenty there. I told you that in the last program. If you live in an area where you get 12 inches of rain a year, which is common in Livermore, California, I think you get 20 there. You get out in the Central Valley of California, like Fresno, hell, you're getting 10 or 12 inches of rain there. 10 or 12 inches. And as a family, you need about 100,000 gallons a year. And if you do the math, you can get your 100,000 gallons, and you can store it in a cistern system. You can provide for all of your own needs. And the people of the state of California aren't being told that they've got plenty of water. They just need a system by which they can store and conserve it. Now, the other day I was reading a piece. San Francisco, after the earthquake in 1906, needed to solve their water problem. Because, San Francisco is 42 square miles. It's a city and a county. Sits on a peninsula. They get plenty of rain there, but, it takes space to put in reservoirs and stuff like that. So they went over to the east side of the state. And they went way up in the Sierra Mountains, and they put in a reservoir, a dam, called the Wichita Hatchie Patchy or something like that. I forgot exactly how to pronounce that, but, they got this Wichita Hatchie Patchy reservoir up there, and it produces all the water that they need in San Francisco, and furthermore, it is at 7,000 feet, and it all goes to San Francisco. I think it's 200 and, oh, it's a big long... Oh, it's 150 miles anyway, but maybe it's 200 miles over there. And it all gets over there by gravity. They don't have to pump a gallon of it. It's all gravity flow. Can you believe that? And then some group the other day said they wanted to tear that dam out and restore the wildlife at 7,000 feet up on the top of the mountains where nobody lives and nobody's going to see it. Well, maybe some elitists that have the money to go backpacking in there can go back and they can go see that. Meanwhile, back on the farm, here's California with a water shortage, a water crisis, and you want to tear out one of the best water projects that's ever been designed by the mind of man. I mean, there's no other water project like it in the world that they don't have to pump a gallon of water 200 miles to San Francisco. Furthermore, they got so much water surplus, San Francisco, which financed that back in 1910, they got enough that they can sell the water to other municipalities like Stockton, Tracy, and Modesto and other cities along the route to pay for the water. So they got cheap water there in San Francisco. I don't know who thunk that up, but somebody figured that out. I looked at that and I said, why in the hell don't you people out there in California wake up to reality and build more projects like that? You got plenty. You've got plenty of places to put them. And, you know, you people in Sacramento, if the people in San Francisco could do it in 1910, why don't you people in Sacramento and Redding and Red Bluff and Fresno and Bakersfield, why don't you people do that? Now, here's a story, you know, that deals with California water projects. It's time to end the water wars. I mean, people spend more time fighting and arguing over the dwindling means of survival or the dwindling means of production rather than to expand the production. They would rather stand in line like communists and share the shortage than to get off their dead butts and go to work like the people of San Francisco did after the earthquake and fire. They woke up in 1906 and said, oops, we didn't provide enough water to solve a major problem like an earthquake and fire. Which, you know, makes all the sense in the world. Makes all the sense in the world. Who would have thought that there was going to be an earthquake and half the city is going to burn down in 1906? But after it happened once, somebody, back in the days before everybody went to college and got degrees, and back in the days when some people could still think, they said, God, that might happen again. That could happen again. And if it happens again, we don't want our city to burn down like it did the first time. Let's solve our water problem. And so they did. Now, California's had this water problem building for years and years. Hell, there was a water shortage. They were talking about piping the water out of the Eel River in Northern California down to Los Angeles, which naturally made all of us people up in Northern California red hop and mad. What do you mean you're coming up here to take our water? Well, the people of Southern California, people would rather live where it's hot and dry than they would where it's cold and wet. You know, not to take anything away from Seattle and Portland, but, you know, most people. And if you take a look at where people live and where they move, they like to move where it's hot and dry. Arizona, New Mexico. And those places are just growing by leaps and bounds. And there's plenty of water out there, but it has to be developed. And it's going to be more expensive. And so they're fighting over the cheap water running down the Colorado River rather than going out and developing new water sources like the people of San Francisco did back in 1910. They said, okay, there isn't any more water here, so let's go to where the water is. Let's spend the money. And they did. And now they've got this abundance, and they've got an abundance that they can sell. And they can share the abundance. They can sell the abundance rather than stand in line and share the shortage. Well, water issues in California are divisive. And decades ago, water disputes were settled at the end of a gun. And even today, policymakers use terms like water wars. But what are we fighting over? So many of the environmentalists want water to restore habitats and protect endangered species. Builders want water to sustain development and growth. Farmers want water to grow their crops. Average Californians want water for their homes and watering their lawns. But what makes no sense is the fact that we're fighting over a completely renewable resource. Instead of fighting, we should develop a way to manage this resource responsibly and then maximize the usage of the water resources that we have. There's enough water which falls from the sky and drains into the ocean that if we managed it in an efficient manner, as has yet to be done, environmentalists, builders, farmers, and everybody who wants water could have an ample amount for their preferred purposes. Failure to come up with an effective management plan could leave us fighting over no more than a glass of water. Well, according to the California Water Plan, water use will increase over the next 25 years by as much as 4 million acre feet. That's enough water to supply 8 million households. To put it another way, every new home would need 7 swimming pools full of water to meet its annual demand. Unfortunately, the state has not been capturing rainfall or melting snowpack, the most renewable water sources in California. To increase supply, in fact, only 2 major surface storage projects have been built in the last 15 years. That's the Diamond Valley Reservoir in Riverside, California, and Los Vaqueros Reservoir in Contra Costa County, together representing less than 3% of California's existing water storage. Both were built by local water agencies. Let me pause here for a second. Did you get that? In California, they've only built 2 water projects out there in the last 15 years. The population of the state's growing by leaps and bounds. Doesn't your common sense tell you that you need to build more capacity? You did that out there, you Californians. You did that with your electricity. You know, you Californians don't want to build any power plants, but you want more and more electricity. I don't know. Where's your brains out there? You know, I like electricity. I like to walk into my office, flip the switch, and there goes the lights. But just in case, there's a shortage over here. We also have some kerosene lamps. When the power goes off, we don't do without light. We go to plan B, which is kerosene lights or candles. Now, I put in a solar system here, just a little, nothing big, but I put in a solar system to maintain a couple of vitals. Let's suppose the power goes off here. Let's suppose the grid goes down for 30 days. That's a prospect, a possibility that we wanted to plan for. So, I got a generator, and I got some fuel out here to run the generator. Then, I put in a solar system out here, just a small one, but it'll run a washing machine, a freezer, and a refrigerator, and give me light in the tower. So I got a separate building here off the house, we call it the tower, and I've got enough electric power out there that's generated by the sun that'll run my wife's washing machine. She said she didn't want to wash clothes by hand. She said she needed a freezer and she needed a refrigerator. That's to kind of keep food, you know, flowing, so that we could live for 30, 60, 90 days, you know, during this emergency, whatever the period is. I got to thinking the other day, now it's almost cheap enough. It's getting to the point where it's cheap enough. And water is going to go where electricity is going. The price of electricity has gone up, up, and up. In fact, the price of electricity here in our county doubled in the last year. That is, the cost, not just electricity, but the cost of putting in power doubled in the last year because of the doubling of the price of copper. Copper. So we got a little electric project we got to put in, and went into the power company yesterday and said, what's it going to cost? And she said, twice as much as the last one you put in, Gordon. That was last year. Twice as much. Price of copper went up. We're charging twice as much. Now, I don't know if they're gouging me. I don't know if the price went up twice. It probably didn't. But, hey, kids, back here on the farm, back down here on planet Earth where there's reality, That's what it's going to cost me. If I want the power put in, I'm going to pay twice what I paid last year. Got it? All right, now let's make up our minds. That's what's going to happen with water. The same thing that happened with gasoline. Hell, a year or two ago, we were paying $1 a gallon or $1.25. Now we're paying $3. It's going to $6. Make up your minds to it. And then plan and prepare for it. Now, there's ways for you to plan and prepare. Just because you're not going to make three times as much money doesn't mean that you can't prepare for these inevitable shortages. You people in California could prepare. You didn't, and you're not going to. The mass majority of multiple millions of Californians are going to be crying in their beer like they did over the power thing here a couple, 3 years ago. I'm not going to change anything in California. You people aren't going to build any more power plants, and you're not going to put any more reservoirs. But I thought I'd tell you, you got your head up the wrong end of your anatomy. And then you're going to be crying because there's not enough, and you got to share the shortage. That's the communist way. Sharing the shortage is the communist way. Get after it. Now, if you want to practice the biblical modality, you know, not what they're telling you here is capitalism, but, you know, free market enterprise. Thou shalt not steal. You shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag. Then you're going to have to prepare for yourself. I've got to provide my own water. I've got to prepare for myself. I've got to prepare and provide my own power. If they're going to double my power in 1 year, if they can double the price of the power in 1 year, can't they double it the next year and double it the year after and double it the year after that? Can't they just price it to a point where I can't afford it anymore, or that I've got to cut way back, or that I got to share the shortage with my neighbors? I mean, that's what I'm preparing for. And that's the way I see it. Hey, I got to give you a reminder before I go any further here, before the FCC gets after me and my producer and everybody else. Let me remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet, daily. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law. From the scriptural perspective, now that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. We're open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, economics, history, health, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we use or cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans. and their viewpoint is not necessarily totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. But these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and they're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, remember our website is georgegordon.org. And our phone number is 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about water and the impending water crisis. A lot of times what we're looking at here is a political problem. In California, you people have a political problem. And that political problem is going to translate into water shortages and water rationing and water problems. I mean, it's been going on for a long time. It's going to get worse. And it's going to affect your property values. In Felton, California, the price of water went from $2.50 for one customer anyway, from $2.50 to $12.75. Look, kids, if they can multiply your water bill by five times in Felton, California, hell, they can do it in San Francisco, Los Angeles, or any place. And the privatization of water for all of you urban dwellers is coming to fruition. And you people that are buying these big houses out in the countryside where you want to have big lawns. Okay, you want to have a big lawn? Terrific. I'm not opposed to people having a big lawn. Make sure that you got the money to buy the water, to water it, or that you provide your own. And like as not, if you're like I am here on the farm, I want more water to use for what I want to do, so I'm going to put in a cistern. I'm putting in a cistern system in an area that gets 40 to 50 inches of rain a year. Imagine how valuable that'll be for you in Stockton or Fresno, California, where you get 10 inches a year. Collecting the water off of the roof of your house, collecting the water that falls on your own land, and then channeling that water. It's expensive. It costs more money. It's more expensive than sucking the water by pump out of the Colorado River. And then pumping it over to Los Angeles and then turning on the faucet and watering your lawn. It's more expensive, I don't deny it. But it's a hell of a lot more reliable. And it's becoming more cost effective, just like electricity and solar power is becoming more cost effective. So while you people are building your houses out there in Stockton, California with a solar array up on top of the roof to provide your electricity, if you also collect that water up off of your roof when it rains and run it down into your cistern, you'll have more water. I was looking at a little piece the other day down in Tucson, Arizona. I forgot where the source was, but it was one of these landscaping publications, and this guy's got an acre of ground, and he takes the water, 8 inches or 10 inches a year in Tucson, and waters his whole 1 acre, including his fruit trees and his garden, without any outside source whatsoever. Now, if you can do it in Tucson, Arizona, hell, you can do it anywhere. Now, somebody's going to write me a letter and say, well, except in Namibia or up in the great desert of Bolivia, where it only rains a half an inch a year. Now, let's come down to earth. In most places in the world, even the Sahara Desert, you're getting 6, 8, 10 inches a year. And if you're getting 6, 8, or 10 inches a year, there's enough. No surplus, but enough. At least on 1 acre. For you and your family to provide all of your own water. Surprisingly enough. Now, I erroneously reported to you earlier you could do it on 5,000 square feet in Tucson, and I did my numbers again and said, oh, no, that's not true. You got to have at least a quarter of an acre to a third of an acre minimum in Tucson, but 1 acre will do it. Now, for you big cities and municipalities, if I lived in the city and I was faced with a water crisis, like a lot of cities are, I would immediately begin thinking about selling my property in the city and moving to another location where I can provide my own water. Whether that water be by well or by cistern or by river or creek or some other form or source. Be thinking about that. Now, developing new groundwater storage requires a source of surplus surface water, and that means expanding our reservoir capacity, which is crucial to expanding groundwater supplies in any significant way. A plan to build only surface water facilities or only groundwater is needlessly inefficient. There must be a mechanism to get the water into the ground, spreading water on the surface, injecting it through wells, or in lieu, recharge the aquifers, and to draw the water out of the ground for use. There are myriad other issues to be resolved, such as ensuring water quality, which requires careful consideration of levels of salt, bromides, and organic carbon. Now, that's what you need to do, but it's not going to be done. Why? Because the corporations want to sell the water. The corporations want to create a water shortage so they can sell it to you as a customer. Are they going to succeed? Beyond their wildest expectations. They're going to do with water what they did with oil. They're going to create a monopoly. Then they're going to create their own laws. Then they'll create their own price structure. And you'll just pay and shut up. Or you'll live a lower standard of living. Which is where Americans are headed. Now, if you want to maintain your standard of living, then you're going to have to start thinking ahead. Thinking ahead. That's why you should be thinking about gold and silver and inflation. That's why you should be thinking about a water system and a cistern, and you should be thinking of your own solar system to provide your electric power. Because these things that we take for granted today are going to become very pricey and very, very expensive. Now, just in the last 20 years, I have observed that what was economically unfeasible 20 years ago with solar panels today is now economically reasonable. So now that it's economically reasonable, I'm going to go ahead and put it in. It's either that or inflation's going to use up or eat up my capital. Now, if you're buying stocks and you think you're going to make a lot of money off of gold and silver and stocks and bonds and investing, I think you're going to be in for a rude awakening. And that if you convert your assets and your real wealth into the tangibles that you use every day, like electricity and water and food and clothing and shelter, etc., I think you'll be better advised. Now, that's what property and property rights and thou shalt not steal and you shall not have an unjust weight or balance comes from the scripture. That's the doctrine espoused by your creator. Concentrate on what you use, not on some future expectation promised you by the Bechtel Corporation or the Republicans, the Democrats, or the Communists. Now, if you want to rely upon corporate capacity and capitalism in the marketplace or politics, get after it. I'm not here to tell you how to live your life. I'm just here to tell you that they've always failed in the past. They're failing in Iraq, and they will probably fail in California. Now, what I watched come down with the energy crisis and the Enron gouging of the people of California over electricity here a few years back says that if they can do that once, they'll do it again. They'll do it again. Now, I noticed out in California, a lot of houses are being built out there with solar panels on the roofs. These are just houses. Now, these aren't big projects. These are just houses. Why don't you look into that? Because I think that that's going to be very, very profitable very shortly. I say very shortly, over the next 10 years. 10 years, one decade. Very shortly. 15% of the water in this country is now in private hands. Let me repeat that. 15% of the water is in private hands. They want it all. And they'll get it. So I'm going to carve out my own little niche here on the Gordon Farm. I'm just my own little niche. And I'm going to make sure that I've got my own water. I'm going to see if I can get all the water that's under my ground locked up, and then I'm going to see if I can't capture all of the water that's above my ground. And boy, I got a lot of it. I got a couple hundred acres here. How much water have I got here? If I had 40 acres and it rains 40 inches here, well, that's 3 feet, isn't it? So let's just be real conservative. In a drought, I'd get 3 feet. So I got 40 acres times 3. That's 120 acre feet times 300. It's 120 acre feet times 326,000. My God, I get a minimum 40 million gallons of water a year here. 40 million gallons of water. 120 acre feet. And it all runs off and runs into the lake. I've never tried to trap it, never tried to use it, never tried. You know, that water could be pretty valuable, couldn't it? Especially if I could put it to beneficial use. So tuck it away in your hearts, boys and girls. Here, it's not going to be worth as much as it could be worth to you in Stockton, California. Now, that's why a bipartisan group of legislators and the governor are digging for a real solution with a comprehensive package of water bonds. The nearly $6 billion proposed bonds would increase water storage by developing new groundwater and surface sites. The surface storage project, sites north of the Bay Delta in Glenn and Colusa counties, the Temperance Flat northeast of Fresno, have already begun the approval process. They were selected because those areas are part of an agreement negotiated by CalFed, the state and federal agency created to restore the ecological health of the Delta and improve water management that underwent considerable review by all of the stakeholders. Of the projects identified, these two carry the promise of providing the highest yield while working within the goal of creating a comprehensive statewide water plan. God, that sounds like real communism to me, if I ever heard it. There isn't anything that government can't do half as well for twice as much. And this is what the government and your legislature and your government, your governor are proposing. And you people in California are going to buy that hook, line, and sinker and love it. But remember that these politicians are owned by the business interests, and the business interests are proposing these kinds of projects over here because they're communists and fascists. And then you're going to depend upon the great majority of people paying their little bit of money into the government, which is going to provide all of these solutions to all of your problems. That's communism. Now, the biblical solution is you solve your problem for you. That's right, you. You live in Tucson, Arizona, and you live on 1 acre, or a half an acre, or 1/3 of an acre, and you say to yourself, I'm going to become water independent. I'm going to become electricity independent. I'm going to produce my own electricity for my own family on my own land. I'm going to produce my own water for my own family and all of my own use on my own land. Now that's independence. What they're proposing here through this CalFed is interdependence. Can you say interdependence, boys and girls? That's communism. That's where we all share and share alike, like the pilgrims did. Remember? When they almost starved to death? Practicing communism. Stand in line. Share the shortage. Now I looked at that and I said, oh, hell, I think I'll just go ahead and put in my own electric system and I'll be energy independent. I think I'll put in my own system here, my own water system, and I'll become water independent. I really don't want to do that. I really like the communist system. I think it works pretty well. I like flipping on the switch and interdependently depending upon the power company and everybody around me over here paying their rates. But unfortunately, I've got the Bechtel Corporation and I've got the Republicans and the Democrats and the communists and everybody else laying plans to take it all away from me. So little Georgie Gordon looking around saying, uh-oh. I'm not just so sure that George Bush is working in my best interest. I think he's working for Bechtel's best interest and Kellogg Brown and Root and Halliburton. I think that he's working in their best interest and the Boeing Company and Lockheed Martin. I think he's working his heart out for those big corporations. Well, I ain't so sure that he's concerned about little Georgie or little Sally or Joe Sixpack. So tuck that one away. And by the way, before I forget, I'm going to give you another name and address here. Remember this guy, A.V. Krebs? This is his newsletter. It's called the Agribusiness Examiner. I'm going to promote it now. He doesn't pay me to do this. I don't want you to think that this is a paid advertisement and that Krebs is paying me thousands of dollars now to get you people to subscribe to his newsletter, because his newsletter is free, if you can believe that. A.V. Krebs. He's a liberal. He's a communist. He is everything that I abhor in life. I'm a conservative. He's a liberal. I despise liberals, like I despise the Kennedys and Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer and the rest of their communist ilk. But, you know, every once in a while, somebody comes up with a neat idea on the other side, because the conservatives over here, led by Bush, who's anything but a conservative, but, you know, nominally called a conservative, are in the process of privatizing our water. And it scared the living hell out of me when I read this Agribusiness Examiner, number 499. So I wanted to tell you that if you were to call Krebs, this number 499. Now, the only way I know of to get in touch with Krebs is to go to his website. And I don't know what his website is, but here's his email. It's A.V. Krebs, A-V-K-R-E-B-S. At Comcast.net. Now, if you don't know how to do that, children, then you don't have a computer. Because if you don't have a computer, you can't get this newsletter. Because the only way I know of that it comes out is on your email. AVKrebs at Comcast.net. Free. Now, he has a little section in here and he says, now, you know, I got to live too. And because I gotta live too, then I'd like you to support me. And so he says here, as the Agribusiness Examiner embarks on its 10th year, support and contributions from readers remains vital and always appreciated. Checks should be made out to A.V. Krebs. Oh, here's his address. Look at this. P.O. Box 2201, Everett, Washington. And his zip code up there is 98213, his zip code, -0201. So if you'd put that down in your notes there, A.V. Krebs, P.O. Box 2201, Everett, Washington, 98213-0201. He says, thank you. Now, I suggest, let me make a suggestion here. He puts out two newsletters, and since the International Forecast, the other newsletter writers, they got a price. And I figure that it's about 6 cents a page. Krebs puts out 12 pages once a week, 52 weeks a year. But he's got two publications. One of them is called The Calamity Howler. The other is called The Agribusiness Examiner. You don't even have to remember those names. Just send to avkrebs at comcast.net and said, put me on your mailing list. That's all you got to tell him. Just put me on your mailing list. And then, of course, give him your email so that he can send it to you, and you'll get it free. Hell, he won't even charge it. But he needs to be supported, and so I suggest that you send him $30 a year for these two publications. That's $30 for the Agribusiness Examiner and $30 for the Calamity Howler. Two liberal publications. All you libs out there ought to love it. God, you'll love him. You conservatives out there will bite your lips. Bite your lips. I know I read his stuff all the time, and sometimes I'm biting my lips. And I can't contain myself. Damn radical liberals. But he gives you the other side to the Bush story. Gives you the other side from time to time as to what the hell the conservatives are doing to you. You know, if it ain't one politician, it's the other. And so when the liberals aren't taxing you to death, the conservatives are privatizing you to death. And both of them have their hands in your pocket. That's what the bottom line is. So by reading both the libs and the conservatives, you can probably come up with a more intelligent plan for yourself to protect Joe Sixpack from the communists, the Republicans, and the Democrats, and the business interests. Not that I'm opposed to business interests, per se. I'm all in favor of selling water for $9 a gallon down at the local 7-Eleven. Hell, I'm not opposed to it. And gasoline's only $3 a gallon, and we're bitching like hell about the price of gasoline, and the price of water is three times as much. But shortly, it's only going to be about two-thirds as much as the price. And if they can work it, they'll have the price of gasoline and water about equal at $9 a gallon. So why don't you start thinking for yourself and start protecting yourself instead of the big corporations. Anyway, that's the story on Mr. A.V. Krebs. I recommend him. He's the only liberal that I subscribe to. If I subscribe to two liberal publications, I'd commit suicide. I don't think I can stand two of them. Well, I guess I'm already getting two. I'm getting the Calamity Howler and the Agribusiness Examiner. But let me assure you that for you conservatives out there, those two publications will be all the liberalism that you can handle. And any more than that, it'll be too much. All right, so now with that out of the way, I wanted to remind you also that there was another article here. It's called findarticles.com. http://findarticles.com. That was a 7-pager. That'll tell you a little bit more. Now, when you get into this water story over here, water, plug water into Google and see where that leads you. If that doesn't scare the living hell out of you, then you must have ice water in your veins. And then there's another one here called the www.uswatersnews, water news, not S in there, just uswaternews.com. Arizona lawmakers are grappling with rural water concerns. The emerging water wars. I think that came from Google. And water fight brewing over aquifer, Twin Falls, Idaho. Officials with Idaho Power and the Surface Water Coalition say they expect their water needs to be met before any water from this year's snowy winter is used to recharge the eastern Snake Plain aquifer drained by years of drought and pumping. Here's Idaho Power Company, the biggest corporation in Idaho. They expect to be paid. Got that? Paid for the water, their share of the water, by you rate users, you taxpayers. Well, isn't that just real special? You'll see that one at uswaternews.com. I had about 15 articles here that I pulled out for this series of programs. Educate yourself so that you know how to protect your water rights. And who knows, it'll even make you a buck or two. All right, I've got to wrap it up right about here, so I'm going to remind you that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. For more information about the Law School and Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling site on our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody. And good night, friends.